baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Some movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It does sound familiar.
It's hilarious. Hello! I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cullen.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
You're too kind.
Too honest.
Well, that should be good corn time. It's a movie.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Kicking off this episode of the podcast, Set Jetter Saturdays, with Robert Patterson, the creator of the website setjetter.com. We have some cool news, Robert. Some of your photos will be on display at the Surrey on Screen exhibit.
Yeah, so if you're in Canada, south of Vancouver and Surrey, apparently you may be able to see my photos. I think you might be able to do a green screen or think something with them. So the museum reached out to me, and they were looking for movies shot in that area. And so the theater, and I know the movie Saved, and I can't remember like all the movies that were kind of shot around that area, but yeah, so obviously I won't be there myself, but hopefully they have a good time. So
that is so cool. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And it's cool that your work is universally loved and recognized.
So I think now that Smallville was the theater that you, that for some reason, one of the scenes, that TV series. But then I also sent them something from Final Destination 2, the gas station, and Saved, the high school. So if you remember Saved, I don't know, with Mandy Moore. I think that was one of her first acting jobs. And I also sent them...
more of a Walk to Remember kind of guy?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, that's great. And
I mean, good for you.
Tron Legacy. the childhood house in Tron Legacy was down there.
Oh yeah. I once worked at this hotel, and there's like some new guy that worked there, and he was somehow Mandy Moore came up, and I was like, yeah, like A Walk to Remember is like a good, it's like a good movie. It just came out recently. This is like 2004-ish. And he's like, yeah, yeah, like, she did some good stuff. And the conversation turned to something else. And I was like, I forget what movie or whatever. And I was like, that's stupid, man. That's, like, really dumb. That's not good at all. And he goes, you were just talking about how great A Walk to Remember is. And I was like, I thought you were on board with that, too. I was, like, defending it. I was like, you told me, like, that was, it was good, too. Like, you liar and all this stuff.
Well,
people are like, guys, what's going on?
Calm down. He lied.
Pointing it.
He gave the illusion that, yeah, because sometimes people, I can't think of a movie, but it'd be, yeah, say, you know, like, it's like, oh, I love Superman 4. I'm like, all right. Like, right. Yeah. And you'll say something like, yeah, it was quite a summer, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I kind of get what he was doing. Yeah. Unless I like know the person or I'm friends with them, I'll just be like, oh, yeah, it's a great movie. Because I'm like, I'm not going to try to change your mind. If you think
if they love
that movie's
it,
great, what's that?
If they love it, let it be, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm not. You. I'm not a snob. I'm not going to do it. But he was like agreeing. So I thought, okay, you know, he made some good points. And then that backfired later on. I was like, we're past the Walk to Remember now.
And now we're going to set up and ridicule half of these movies. So
right.
Sorry, listeners. Do but as we say, not as we do. Yeah.
As we do. Yeah. Real quick question, though, about Surrey on Screen. This is the Museum of, is it Surrey?
Yes, Surrey. Yeah.
Where is this at?
So it's in Canada. It's actually, Surrey is right at the border. For
Washington State?
Yeah. So it's kind of well, it's south of Vancouver. So
okay.
So like it's not too far from the Smallville farm and the bait where they filmed Bates Motel and the motel. So it's not quite in Surrey, but it's kind of in the same area.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah. So if you're in that area, check it out.
This part of the Stand was shot there. And by the Stand I mean the 2020 Stand.
Reason number one to head to Surrey. And if you're listening and you're in that area, check it out. But also just check it out the website. It's surrey.ca, and you'll see it up there. So pretty cool. The Stand 2020 was shot there. Which parts?
I think it was the Pittsburgh parts. Remember we were looking at like we were watching it live. For listeners that weren't around at the time, and were like, and I was always like, "Where is that?" I remember I said, "This neighborhood looks like the Tron Legacy neighborhood to me," and sure enough, I think it was like a few blocks away.
Yeah, which is cool.
Yeah.
Harold Lauer.
Yeah, maybe it was Maine or I can't remember. So obviously, I think it was Maine because that's where.
Is it where Harold sees the dead cop?
I don't remember now. Yes. Or no, but okay. Where Franny lives, I think. Remember, Franny's in the backyard.
And yes.
So that's where. Not that we
and
can't.
Harold Moon walks away and pretends to come back up again.
Listeners, you know, we can't go an episode without discussing The Stand.
No, yeah, it has to be done.
Is there bingo out there for the first time we mentioned The Stand or Tubi?
The Stand or Tubi. There would be, I think for the next show, I'm going to create bingo cards and post it on social media. Like random ones, like create 20 random ones. And we'll give away like a free shirt or something.
Yeah. Matthew said, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, that location is no longer there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're no longer living.
It happens.
Yeah. But, okay, so we'll get back. We're going to talk about The Stand 2020 tonight, now that I'm thinking about it. No. Change the whole show. By the way, I know you were probably concerned. Ezra Miller did resurface this week, so he is alive.
Okay.
He was charged with a felony, but he's okay now.
And
they were looking for.
I don't know what Warner Brothers is doing. I mean, canceling movies that are almost done, pushing movies forward with movies that shouldn't be shown. I don't know. They must have a weird. I don't know what's going on in their studio system over there.
You know what they're doing is they're hurting for money, and the movie costs $200 million, and they're waiting this out, hoping they can just release it because they don't want to get rid of it. But then they cancel Batgirl, which I think was like in post production.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's almost done. And granted, let's say you're going to save $100 million in advertising and promotion costs, but now you don't get anything.
You don't get anything. And I mean, even if you wanted to do like, you didn't want to release it theatrically, to not put it anywhere, even for video on demand, I mean, it's like crazy.
That's why I'm like, I don't understand why it's just not dumped there, because that really costs nothing, you know. But.
Right. And Kevin Smith said something kind of interesting about that. He said the reason that Warner Brothers said they canceled it was because it did poor with test audiences and that, like, the budget was low, and he made the point it was $90 million. He was like, it was $90 million. How do you make a shitty looking $90 million movie? Yeah. Like, it probably looks, he's like, even if it looks a little bit better than an episode of Arrow, like, why not release it? Like,
let audiences judge.
Right.
Is that Warner Brothers new tagline? Creating shitty $90 million movies.
Yeah, creating shitty $90 million movies. But then you have Ezra Miller, who I won't even go through all the things that he's done this year. On paper, since we're in that culture, not that I necessarily agree with it should be canceled.
Yeah.
But they let them star in the movie.
Yeah, and I think they have high hopes. Like, we want to make more. I'm like, are you sure?
Are you sure?
Not to tell people your business, but I don't know if that's a good idea. But
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree with you 100%. So,
and maybe they just have bad luck of the draw, you know, like, you know, the cavalcade of stars. Amber Heard.
Amber Heard. Like, I know it's bad. They should have went over to Disney. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, come on.
I never watched any, what do they call it, Big Brother series or anything, but I feel like there should be Warner Brothers Big Brother, you know, where it's just the Justice League stars.
Right.
Trying to hammer stuff out.
Trying to hammer stuff. The Justice League stuff.
People would tune in for that.
Oh, like, yeah. That.
What are they going to do? Yeah.
That would do well with ratings. But we have a good, this exciting list tonight. This is the summer of 1987. Last week we did summer of 82, I think it was.
Yeah.
So summer of 87 is really cool. And we're going to break these down by month. So these like the highest grossing films of the month?
These are just kind of what was
popping,
highlights and stuff like that. So so I was 17 at the time. So prime movie summer. Yeah. I didn't have to sneak into movies. I could just buy a ticket to R-rated movies.
Just head right in and do it.
Show you there, right there. Here's my ID if you need it.
Do you remember though how cool that was at 17? You're like, I can go see rated R movies now.
not act, you know, to like, hope they don't card us. We'll have to go to a different theater. But
right.
Or yeah. So anyway,
it was. Or try to sneak in while I'm paying a ticket for it. You guys are seeing The Lion King again? Yep.
Sure yep. Are. We love it. I wish I used to have a pocket calendar and I would write in every movie I saw on what day. I don't know. I don't think I still yes. have it. So, but it would, every Friday, Saturday was whatever movie came out. That was my life.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You don't have it anymore?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it in a while, so I like maybe it doesn't exist or but.
But that would be cool to see and see like what were you doing on this day and whatever.
But I was a prime. You need to see it opening night if you can, person.
Yeah.
Except for some of these that we'll talk about. So I see this and I'm like I remember exactly what theater I went to and what the experience was like.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so summer of '87, May, we have Creepshow 2, The Gate. And Beverly Hills Cop 2.
It's all in the theater, all in opening night for each of these. Yeah.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You saw all of these on opening night?
Oh, gosh, yeah. So it was so cool. A big deal. You know, you had to see. Well, one, I was excited. You know, Creepshow was a great movie. And I remember, actually, I should have dug this out. So
Fangoria Creepshow is a great movie.
Yeah. So Creepshow, I was just disappointed because some of the specialness was lost. Some of the stories were okay. But it was lacking some of the spark from the first one. So I was also a letter writer, you know, to Fangoria magazine. And I remember they published my letter, complaining about Creepshow too. So I'll have to dig that out.
Wait, they published your letter criticizing it kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you get letters from fans, you know, they'd publish a couple of pages of, and so
that's so cool.
I was like, wait,
was Creepshow too, the one with the old wooden chief?
Correct. I remember some of the reviews saying, they more so alluded that the story moved as fast as old wooden chief.
No. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I like Creepshow too. It's obviously not as good as the first one, but the raft is in there.
All of these have worn on me a little bit. So, and I remember I read The Raft as a short Stephen King.
Me too.
Story.
And Stephen King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did a good, I mean, was it Daryl Hannah's sister, isn't it?
Yeah. They did a good job with that given the budget and the time.
Yeah. And it was, so, in retrospect, some of those things work, and maybe they should not have started, or the wooden old chief wooden head or whatever the name of the story.
Yeah.
It just didn't work as well, and it was kind of a comeuppance, but not like The Raft. It was kind of all, you know, sci-fi horror-ish, and then the Hitchhiker one.
Yeah.
Was there three or four? I can't remember, but
and there's it's kind three. Of, it was the Hitchhiker, The Raft.
Okay, and then I think there's just the three show. I can't remember now.
Oh, there was a prologue too.
Yeah, and that's why they had the weird cartoony stuff. But anyway,
yeah, with the kid on his bike.
Yeah, that movie's kind of worn on me in a good way over the years. So I've kind of, I actually bought it on Blu-ray, the special edition. So there you go.
4K.
I don't think it's 4K, but it is a super special, not super special edition. But
I always thought The Raft would have been a good movie. To film, it's, you can pretty much shoot it on a super low budget, and it's that creepy, like, what's out there? Like, who doesn't like a, because remember The Raft, it's like the kind of the end of summer, maybe like wintertime. Yep. So there's nobody on the lake, which like makes it, lakes are just so creepy.
You're stuck, you know, and it could still work now because nobody's going to have to swim with their cell phones, you know.
Right, so yeah.
It would still work. Or The Gate, or The Raft. 1796.
Yes. How did we get out of
here? I don't know. Anyway,
Rant,
sorry.
1796.
I digress, but anyway.
No. Any movie you think should be a prequel from the 1700s, mention it. I feel like we have some ideas.
The Gate we've talked about before, I know. So that was kind of low-budget Canadian horror movie that I had pretty good, mostly practical effects. There were some opticals, obviously, but the little men and stuff like that, the kind of superimposed kind of split diameter. Great effects, I think. It worked pretty well. So
we've done The Gate before, so I won't run through the whole thing. But I wanted to ask you a question about this backyard. Didn't you try to like do it, but it wouldn't let you or something?
I rang on the doorbell, and I really, a lot of the movie takes place in the backyard, or where that's where the gate actually is. And so if you look at the aerial view, it's a big open backyard. They haven't done anything to it. I'm like, oh, I would love to get in that backyard, but nobody answered, so.
That's when you put on this fake hat and go, we're from the gas company, electric company, like 101 Dalmatians.
And they would just say, I need to check the backyard with this camera.
With this camera, please. But yeah, this is like one of those practical effects you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the gate is a, it's a fan favorite. People have fond memories of that. So
you can. And check I have out a fond memory of this page because those rays that you put in there when we first watched when we first like went through this, I was like, that's an awesome touch.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was just being funny.
It looks great. But so you saw The Gate and Creepshow 2 and this next one in May.
And Beverly Hills Cop 2. And I remember I was beginning, I was in a film snob at the time, but I remember I was at the point where now this is nothing, but this is one of the first movies they did super quick editing, half second shots. You know, like I remember when Brigitte yes. Nielsen's coming and shooting, whatever. And I remember at the time, it was like, they're cutting too fast. You know, it was too much. That was kind of bringing me out of the movie. But now that is literally the norm.
Right. Yeah. No, it's kind of the thing. But it was one of the first movies to like utilize that.
Yeah. It was jarring to me as a audience member, I remember. So, it certainly doesn't hold up to the original, but it's certainly better than Beverly Hills Cop 3. And I know what we have on the way.
They didn't have a trailer for that, right?
No, it's just a poster for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
Just Eddie Murphy outside of his house that he texted into the agent and they're like, we'll Photoshop it.
I hope George Lucas makes another cameo.
Right. The most awkward cameo.
Yes.
We're talking about listeners, Beverly Hills Cop 3. George Lucas, who's notorious for not like being in movies, he does a cameo in this movie.
Which
is great.
I need to investigate why he did too, because you just don't get George in
right
movie,
yeah you? It's not like he did, it's not like the scene was like a Star Wars reference scene and he shows up and you're like, oh, it makes sense, he created Star Wars, he's a
here he is. But was, I don't
was, where was that film, Santa Monica?
I'm trying to remember. I've not been to that. I don't do amusement parks too much, so I haven't been to that one. So
it was an amusement park, so it would have been like Universal or something.
It wasn't. I'll have to look it up. So it's nowhere that I've been.
Knott's Berry Farm.
I don't think it was for some reason, but I'll have to look.
I'm just making up parks now.
Yeah, you're just making up.
Hershey Land and Hershey Park.
I have been to Hershey Land. I was actually been to Hershey Land before it became an amusement park when it was actually.
Really?
You could visit the factory itself.
Yeah, you still can. Although it's a new factory now.
Yeah. So I remember. I feel like I literally remember looking down on chocolate bats, which now you could do in 1974, which you can't do now. But But
I love Hershey, man. I'm a huge Hershey's guy.
Hershey, Pennsylvania, and now they have concerts there and stuff. I know it's.
Yeah, I saw some great concerts there when I lived there. I'm all on board Hershey. Buy some Hershey, everybody. I own stock in Hershey. Like, I'm all on board with it.
Tonight's
episode is sponsored by Hershey. Get your Reese's Pieces. That's not Hershey's, by the way.
That was May. Yeah, so.
So May was three movies of notable, May 1987, three movies of notable worth. June, we have quite a list. I'll just run through these. First one, Robert, was You Want to Get to Capone? They pull a knife, you pull a gun. He sends yours to the hospital, you send his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
And we are talking about The Untouchables, which this movie came up when I was, I've been watching some old Siskel and Ebert. And
really?
Yeah, I can't remember. They were either split or they both didn't like this movie. I think they were split. They're like, it was ridiculous. You know, like they did not like The Untouchables, which is funny because now it's kind of held up a little bit higher, but they did not like it at the time.
Yes, this is one of those movies that over time it's aged well, but wasn't like anything to write home about for a few years. I don't know why.
I don't know. But. And it's probably De Palma's last good one, if I'm thinking well. But now
great
you look back.
Cinematography in it, too.
It kind of had all of it together. So Untouchables holds up, obviously. Harry and the Hendersons also came out that month. And. John Lithgow was doing, is it Vogue magazine? Because, you know, they have actors revisit the timeline of their life, you know, films and stuff like that. So I remember he kind of touched on that. And I kind of forget about this movie. But he brought up the scene, and I forget where they want Harry to go back into the forest. And it's just, he said, it's all, I mean, people cried thinking about, because remember they're hitting him like, go, Harry, we don't want you here. And he says, people bring that up and it immediately they, you know, he's, remember, I think he said tears to start, you know, like it just somehow hits their
It's heart so sad.
Still, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it touches you. That's a movie I forget about, too. I think I maybe only seen it like twice.
Yeah.
As a kid. But yeah. Okay, Harry and the Hendersons, The Believers. What is The Believers?
The Believers is a Martin Sheen movie, and it's kind of what was the Wes Craven Serpent and Rainbow? It's kind of this kind of voodoo type movie, a New York
thriller.
It is, and I remember it has a there's a couple during this time that movies started to have these great opening scenes, and I remember the scene. I don't know if this is. It's 35 years old, so if I'm spoiling it, but more or less, it creeps me out, you know, any type. This is kind of almost a Final Destination. So it's Martin Sheen, his wife, and it's and their son. And of course, it's, you know, morning in New York, and they're getting ready. So, you know, something is...
something's brewing on the horizon.
Something, you know what I mean? Like, something's going to go wrong, and more or less either spilt milk or whatever, and mom's like, oh, I'm going to clean it up, and the coffee machine starts sparking, and she goes to turn it off, and is like... electrocuted and dies, and it's just jarring and stuff like that, and that's how the movie opens, and then it turns into this whole other kind of voodoo. So I still like this. I think it actually is playing on Tubi right now. So
is it really?
Yeah, I would recommend checking out The Believers. So,
but only if it's on Tubi.
Yeah, otherwise you can watch it on other channels if you must, but
but we'll only watch it on Tubi.
Yeah, we prefer that. So
right. But okay, so the Believers, Predator came out in June of 87, and I imagine you saw this theatrically as well.
This one I did not, believe it. I don't know why I didn't happen to catch this one. So
you want to see Schwarzenegger tearing up the jungle?
I did not. For some reason, maybe it was just I didn't think it was kind of my cup of tea at the time, or something. But Predator, I think it did well in the theaters, but I think it did even better on video at the time.
I think you're right. I think it built more of a following. Yeah. Next is one we've spoken about before, of course, Witches of Eastwick.
Which I saw twice opening weekend.
Opening weekend?
Yeah, I saw it Friday night and Saturday.
You're a trooper.
I liked it that much. And this is, you know, I was 17. I was really going to do the aesthetics of film, and I just how they made things and how it all worked. And the music by John Williams, yeah. I think, is one of his best scores as well. But yeah, so I liked it enough. I wanted to go back. And this is where we started getting into super special effects. So it doesn't hold up as well. But, you know, the tennis ball scene where they're doing slow motion, the ball's in slow motion, but they're in regular motion.
It works.
Kind of works.
It does. It does still kind of work. And it was really cool at the time. This is one of those movies that when I saw it, like, really scared me. Like, when they were witches. Yeah, I was like really freaked out. I saw it pretty young too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a good flick.
Yeah, how old were you in 87?
I didn't see it in 87. I might have saw it like it was on TV. I think it was like 1990. I was probably like 10 or 11, but I was like, oh, it's really, really creepy. Or I would have been 9.
I mean, and plus you have, I mean, Jack Nicholson, Michelle Pfeiffer, Cher, and Susan Sarandon. I kind of miss some of those big studio, like, they pull out all the big guns.
Me too.
Yeah.
Even if it's not a great movie, like Copland or something, you still have, like, 8 good actors on screen. Yeah. And you're like, it's worth it for this.
Yeah, can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. Spaceballs came out in 87.
It did. Probably a couple years too late.
I don't watch Spaceballs, really ever.
It's not... It was a couple of years too late, you know. I mean, Return of the Jedi was 83, and now all the kind of, you know, like, it was past its prime a little bit.
It's kind of a little too hokey, even for, like, an 80s screwball. You're kind of like, yeah, okay.
But John Hurt made a cameo poking fun of aliens.
That is a great scene.
It had that, at least.
Yeah. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. I agree with you. I'm not really into Spaceballs too much, but also it was Dragnet.
I know you love to talk about Dragnet.
I do. Oh, love Dragnet. Dragnet was, who was the other guy? John Candy and Tom Hanks? Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks?
Yep.
Who was Friday? Was that?
I don't know. This was not my cup of tea movie.
Yeah. I saw it once as a kid, and I was at this kid's house, and his dad was a cop, and he liked it. And I thought the movie was going to be more like the serials from the 60s, and it wasn't, so I didn't really like it. But I'm like, I like it. It's really good. I call my mom. Mom,
you learned to love it. Pick me up.
Pick me up. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I was in a good overnighter. Not all the time, but, you know.
I wasn't an overnighter guy. I liked having people sleep over. I didn't like going to other houses.
Yeah.
So they'd be like, Clark, you want to sleep over? I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to call my mom. Mom, can you come? Yeah. We do. Grandma, I got to go see grandma tonight.
Yeah. Like, oh, bye, shoot, guys. Or whatever. It is kind of a weird time. Like, their house smells funny. You know, like.
Yeah, always smells funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was always like, I don't, their house smells funny, Mom. Yeah. I don't want to be there.
Now, if I go to people's, nobody's house really smells funny. But as a kid, it was like, I don't, their house doesn't smell right. You know, like.
Right. Full Metal Jacket is also came out in 87. This is Stanley Kubrick's Vietnam psychological war movie.
And I didn't see this till video. It must have got a semi-wide release, but I don't remember kind of hitting my radar. So I still like this one. It's always one of the. My Blu-rays are 4K upgrades. I think I just got the 4K of that.
Oh, so, cool.
I do.
Nice.
Those kind of years of Stanley Kubrick, I like those years, and you kind of get lost in those movies. You're in for the ride, so I like that.
Yeah, you know what you're getting into, and it's fun. Okay, Roxanne, Steve Martin's. Who else is in Roxanne?
It's Daryl Hannah. Then Shelley Duvall, of course.
Yes,
it's one of the characters. So, so this is where Steve Martin always kind of looked the same. I mean, didn't he? Like, he's always had that same look. He looks about the same right now too.
Right.
I feel.
He had the white hair going from the start, and that like worked for him.
Yeah. So, just yet another Cyrano version that seemed to work at the time. I've not revisited this, so I don't know. I don't think fans are clamoring, like, remember Roxanne?
Yeah, I don't think so. It doesn't come up a lot.
Yeah.
Next is The Stepfather. I'm just going to share a few of these stills that Robert has covered. We've talked about The Stepfather on your last trip here, because we visited a few of the two and three locations.
Yeah, so this was shot up in Vancouver, of course. And so this was also, it's one of those that also has a great opening scene, has a great soundtrack, and... Unfortunately, the house is no longer there.
This house?
No, the main house. I think it's
okay.
I saved it at the end. This is one of those I do have a regret because I couldn't find this house. And I finally found it. And literally, after I found it, they demolished it and put up a McMansion. So,
terrible.
I was like, I should have got out there. I should have. Shame on me for not finding it faster. And two, I should have got out there. But. Good news is that when it was for sale, they had indoor and outdoor pics, so which is always nice. So I can kind of see that because it was all real locations that they used.
Oh, good. Cool. But, well, at least you're able to see them.
Yeah. Stepfather still holds up.
Stepfather still holds up. And it's a good kicked off the franchise.
It is.
It's probably the best one in the series, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So
by a long shot?
By a big long shot. So,
yeah.
I know you're probably looking for that, unfortunately, sentence, but
I do like when you say that.
I think it's right there. It might say if you go up a little bit, but
yeah,
because I think I did try to update the website. So
to make matters worse. Okay. Well, unfortunately,
it's been replaced. It's gone. Next is also last movie in June that we're talking about is Ruthless People.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Also Bill Pullman's other June movie. Yeah. So this was kind of, obviously he was kind of beginning to hit it out of the park here. It's true 80s movies from the cinematography, the furniture. I mean, it's just,
oh yeah. the like running action sequences and
yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah. This is the thing that always comes out.
Yes.
Comes to mind, I mean,
Bette Midler, this was a big between this and Down and Out in Beverly Hills, which I think came out earlier. I can't remember. So this was supposed to be her resurgence year.
Yeah.
So it was kind
Down and Out's a good movie too.
Big deal for her. So you see me next to, I'm pretty sure that's the original fence that I'm next to because the fence is falling apart.
Oh gosh.
So I'm sure that was the original fence. If you want to go grab a prop, everybody.
Oh yeah.
But yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Comedic timing is great. I mean, everybody is Helen Slater. It's a good movie still. It still holds up.
It is a good movie. Good call on that. And we're kicking off to July 1987, Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes. So
I didn't realize you covered this. I'm going to pull this up real quick.
I did. So it's supposed to take place in Chicago, but mostly shot in Toronto. And so they're also, you know, guilty of McMansioning some of their houses, but same. So Deborah Hill was one of the producers. So her other babysitting movie is Halloween. This Bad Chicago Alley was also used in The Fly and Police Academy.
I recognize it from The Fly and from your other page.
Yeah, this is kind of the loft. Also in Police Academy, the Silver Dollar Room was also the Blue Oyster.
Oh, yeah, cool.
They didn't really obviously show the Blue Oyster thing, but the interior for Adventures, they shot somewhere else where she does, the babysitter sings the blues. But
cool.
And the college and the hospital. So they did have some pickup shots in Chicago. And if I think the next one is, I had a picture of some tunnels that they were going into. It was kind of a double tunnel if you could keep going down, but it'll be towards the end. So those tunnels were, I saw a couple of similar tunnels in Toronto. And then I just got an email from somebody that says, hey, I live in Chicago. This is what they did. And they built a matte painting around it to kind of pretend Chicago was, you're driving at the tunnels for Chicago, which is not reality, but that's kind of what they use. So,
cool.
I was looking up the guy that emailed me, and he's apparently a special effects guy for Marvel. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Just happened upon my page.
Yeah, for sure. Next few in July, Robert. Do you want to read these guys off?
Yep. So, Innerspace. So, Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan and Martin Short. So, and that. The movie still holds up pretty well, so I don't know. Are you familiar with Innerspace or
Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No. So anyway,
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, more or less, Martin Short gets shrunk down into, and he gets into the body of Dennis Quaid, and he needs to get out by a certain, you know, before he runs out of air.
Old Hollywood tale,
as you know, as always happens. So mostly shot in San Francisco, with of course, you know, some things shot in LA. I think the grocery store is maybe not too far from you. For some reason, I thought that was Encino or Tarzana if you keep going down. Okay. So Martin Short works at a grocery store.
I know where this is.
And
I know where this is.
Yeah, do you? So it looks a bit sick. Oh, Sherman Oaks. Sorry. I knew it was somewhere down there off the freeway, but he works at a grocery store. But yeah, so it's still, I mean, I don't revisit it too often, but it's still it's a solid movie. Joe Dante.
I know it's not Trader Joe's because the parking lot's actually big.
Yeah.
By the way, San Francisco, this was shot in, some of this movie was shot there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be pleased to know Mrs. Doubtfire. It's amazing. It's Lauren Lust for me. It has been weaned down.
All right.
I used to love this. I still love Robin Williams' performance.
Yeah.
But there's been so much talk of how creepy it is, and people are like, it's not that good. I'm like, you know what? It's not that good.
Oh, hello. I can't even do it.
Hello. It's just that the thing with the kids dressing up as the woman, I can't get past that.
Yeah.
Tricking children. You think about it, it's creepy.
It is. Everything is, there's a lot wrong with it, so.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to update you on that you're winning the war on Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay, thank you. That's my life goal.
Oh, the great Joe Dante.
There he is. So
Where's this at?
It was one of the conventions. He was unannounced, signing for free. And there, obviously, I'm wearing my Lost Boys shirt.
Oh,
there,
look at that shirt.
When I could fit into it. So.
Wait, is that like a runner material kind of shirt?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those all-around shirts where the whole shirt is from...
Like the Diet Coke shirt I sent you.
Yeah,
today.
It's completely photo. Yeah, so Kiefer Sutherland was at that one, and who's Michael? And
it's what's his name?
It's gone. I don't know what it is. I lost his name. Cool. Anyway, so I bought that special shirt. So, next one is Made to Order.
Made to Order.
Ally Sheedy is in this. I love her. I was working at a movie
theater. I'm a fan as well.
Yeah. So some of these, I was working in a movie theater. So one, I think I got in for free. But so yeah, I remember opening night, typical 80s movies. So this house, her house that she lived in, nobody had fine at the time. And I was actually going to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane house. And this,
you're
driving by and I'm like, there it is. I found the house. This was well before Google Street View, where it was now easier to find houses. But yeah, so there's Mansion Lynch. Oh, I need to update this because her dad is Tom Skerritt. So, and great, I just met Skerritt. Tom. Yeah, a few
weeks Hollywood ago. Show, right?
Yeah, the Hollywood show. He was there. So,
did you have him? But was he signing things, or was it like just?
It was so on Friday. He had nothing on his table, So on Friday was different than Saturday. So Friday, and I was like, I didn't really bring anything either. And I said, oh, I just want a photograph. And it said, photographs are 15. And so took a photo with him. And then it was like, oh, just give me 10. Yeah, I was like, all right.
Yeah, that's cool.
And part of me is like, what? This is Tom Skerritt. He could probably charge, you know.
I would pay $50 for a photo of Tom Skerritt.
It's you know, Alien, and you know, like he's Top Gun. Yeah, he's been in everything. And Pulse, so I think
three.
Saturday, they kind of figured out like, hey, he had more photos and he was charging, I think, more. But then I also heard he wasn't taking selfies, so I don't know if something happened. But so I got in at the prime time.
Maybe COVID or something.
Something maybe. So he's 80 something, I think. So
yeah, no, he was old even in the 80s. He was like, remember in Top Gun, he was like an instructor. Yeah.
Poltergeist 3. So another cameo or short small role in this movie is Kimberly Beck, who played Trish Jarvis in Friday the 13th, the final chapter. So she's
in Made to Order.
She is. I think if you near the bottom, there's probably a picture of what she looked like. She just looks like typical Los Angeles, Beverly Hills. There she is right there.
Yeah.
So there she is.
Oh, yeah.
I love Kimberly Beck. Yeah. I love
80s, like the overuse of sweaters and long sleeve shirts. It was probably 85 degrees that day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They use that in a lot of movies, though, because it looks better on film. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched in Great Outdoors, and John Candy's wearing that sweater to dinner. And I'm like, it's like July in California. He's not wearing that sweater.
Well, sometimes it gets down to 70, and you know, you get your shaker sweater out. You know,
it does get a brisk 65 at times.
So, Made to Order, I think it's hard to find. I think it's only on DVD, and it is difficult to... Yeah, and actually, I have people contact me about this movie, because there's one missing location when she's waiting for the bus that nobody can seem to find. So, I think I had some guy call me asking if I figured out where that location is at. But and so you can see by my screenshots, it's not even widescreen DVD. It is full frame, old school.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
My psychiatrist's office is here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like right over here off screen.
We're finding all sorts of dirt about you now.
I just get it from the Adderall for ADHD. That's it.
That's all.
I keep everything bubbled inside.
But
this is really cool. You got these shots, especially.
Rodeo Drive right off there.
I love it. So Made in Manhattan was also released in July of 87. Next is a favorite.
Made in Manhattan.
Or Made to Order.
Oof. How dare you,
I know what I'm
sir.
Watching tonight. That is a bad slip. Apologies. Apologies. Made to Order, July 1987.
Yes.
Right. Made in Manhattan deserves its own show.
I'm washing my hair that night. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm doing it. Summer School. This is a favorite of ours, I think.
Yeah. Well, we got the Karate Kid school there. And
yeah. Yeah. Which you've covered as well. I have to show these pictures. So you did see this theatrically.
I did.
When it came out.
Yeah, and it was it was pretty good, you know, funny movie. And it was also there's two horror movie fans in it, so I kind of you see yourself a little bit, whether you like it or not. So, but
right. Karate Kid School.
Karate Kid School, right there. Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 School, right there. Oh, it's supposed to be Ocean View High School or something like that. So there's a couple of shots where one of the gals is looking out the window at the school, and they got to
an ocean.
It was like, and anybody knows anything, like this is as far from the ocean as you can get in Los
Angeles. Right, you're a mountain range separates you from the ocean, but it's hilarious, and they do that.
Yeah,
they do that. You know what they do that in real quick was Vacation, the 1983 one.
Yeah,
Do you remember they leave Wally World in Canyon Country, and they turn the corner and they're on Santa Monica Boulevard?
Yeah, like Santa Monica Boulevard, right there.
And you're like, oh, they really. It works, but yeah. If you know, you know.
In movie time, I'm sure LA people, I mean, they're just used to like that's not there.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. But,
so it mostly folds up. So they shot at the police station, which is now a police station museum. So if you're a fan of Adam 12, they have a lot of different things in there, and you can take a little tour.
Oh,
yeah, and it's actually a good. Most of it is Los Angeles police history. So they kind of like go through all the different riots and stuff like that. I think it's like you go through it for $10 or something like that. It's nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I would like that.
And it's a big movie location.
And this famous shot, we've seen in a ton of movies, but Summer School. Summer School is a good movie. I like that movie.
Yeah, it still holds up.
Oh, great. Dean Cameron. I love his face.
I notice he's always looking away in all of his pictures with fans, so I don't know if it's kind of his thing. But
oh, really?
Yeah. I thought it was weird that he did it in mine, but then I see he's done that in others.
That's like his shtick?
Maybe it is, so he's probably a way to be funny, so... Kelly Jo Mentor, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Where is this?
This is probably Horror Hound, one of those conventions or somewhere.
You have a good Fred Durst
Texas.
Vibe coming off.
You got me in pre-glasses Fred Durst wearing an original Nightmare on Elm Street crew t-shirt.
I like it. I like it a lot. And a great Shawnee Smith.
Shawnee Smith, so. But cool. Yeah, Summer School. Check it out if you haven't.
Summer School is cool. Also in July 87 is Made in Manhattan.
Damn it.
Damn it. La Bamba, which we've spoken about before.
Yeah.
Which I think it still holds up. It's still a good movie. Real quick, just a cool thing about Richie Valens is, you know, he was only 17 when he died. And being the first, Latino musician to cross over to mainstream rock and roll, that is.
Yeah.
And die at 17 and still have people singing your songs today is pretty remarkable. So,
yeah.
Certainly
I didn't realize
a fascinating
he was that story. Young. I mean... I guess Lou Diamond Phillips is obviously he wasn't 17 when he played him.
Right, but, right. And you don't think of Richie Valens as being young because the way he sounds. It's just that it's that thing where they look younger as time progresses. Like you look at actors that were in their 30s in the 50s, and you're like, well, they look like they're 60.
Yeah, interesting.
Moisturizer was not a thing.
Coincidentally, Lou Diamond Phillips was. In the same room was Kiefer Sutherland, Jason Patrick is who we were thinking of, and then Lou Diamond Phillips were all in the same room for autographs when I met them. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Robert Trivia there.
Did you see La Bamba theatrically?
I did not.
Okay.
Not until video. Yeah.
And number four is The Quest for Peace. This is Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
Did not see theatrically. I knew to stay away from it.
You didn't?
I did not. No. You just knew something that wonderful. I mean it was stinky, so don't bother. Well,
why wouldn't you pay for a ticket, Robert? It's only money.
I didn't realize what a classic it would be. I didn't realize it would be something wonderful.
I went down a rabbit hole on behest of your suggestion where you talked about Canon Films. You remember the whole documentary about?
Oh.
And they thought Superman 4, because it's in the Superman franchise, it was going to be this blockbuster movie. And the reason that they cut this movie down, there was like an extra hour or something of footage. They cut it in half so movie theaters could play this movie multiple times a day in the same theater.
Like they were going to sell it out.
They thought
it's a weird concept.
Yeah, they thought they were going to sell it out so much they could just keep rerunning it. It's like it was so bad because they cut the budget from $38 million to like $17 or something.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it shows. So
it's more a movie that we're going to talk about is one of the reasons they lost their budget. We'll talk about that in August.
Yes. So. Okay. You're right. You're absolutely right. Living Daylight, James Bond. We've spoken about this. And also is The Lost Boys. Classic. Jaws the Revenge, a.k.a. Jaws 87.
Yes.
And RoboCop, which such a great, violent, fun movie.
RoboCop, I remember seeing with my dad. And you have to remember what it was a funky title. And people are, are supposed to take this seriously or not? And so it was kind of shocking when you saw it because it's like, oh, this is a brutal, gory movie.
Yes.
And I remember, you know, we go see it and it ended up being great, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like not what we expected. So,
it's like very, one of the most violent movies ever.
Yeah. Very R-rated. So, Jaws of Revenge, and I put Jaws 87 because I remember that's how, what I knew it, everything leading up to it. It was called Jaws 87. So, and I happened to find a clip where they actually used Jaws 87 as kind of the logo, is what it was supposed to be called at the time. But it was kind of, you know, Airport 75, Airport 77. So
yeah, yeah.
It was supposed to be Jaws. I wish now it would just be called Jaws 87. It just,
well, I remember at West Coast Video, which was like pre-Blockbuster, they had, at least in the area I grew up in, there were promotional stuff for like Jaws 87 kind of thing. It was like nice. What they were doing.
Yeah, so I loved it. I just wish it was called that because it would just been, it's just a perfect way.
What is this clip right here?
I play a Bahamian so this was just, marine biologist, which Mario is fun Van because Peebles I lived in Negril for quite some time.
Talking so about how he's no just been cast in Jaws.
Sort of, I think, the brown answer to the Richard Dreyfuss role in the first show, you know. And they got me with the dreadlocks. And
the hair is tremendous.
So it's another character role for me.
Filming on Jaws 87 has just gotten underway in the Bahamas.
Jaws 87. Oh, this, well, I love everything about this video.
Yeah, I found this and I'm like, oh, everything about that is just perfect 80s.
Oh, it's perfect.
You can't go wrong. So
it's not even
Jaws
a 87. Sweater.
How just, could you not go wrong?
How could you not go? How many times did you see it theatrically?
Zero.
Zero.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I was thinking Lost Boys. So yeah, so the story is that we've told before is that I had a choice between Jaws 87 or a sneak preview of The Lost Boys, I think. And I unwisely chose Jaws.
Jaws 87.
Well, you know, it's like, hey, it's a sure thing.
Oh, I would have went with Jaws 100%, yeah. Given yeah. the history and what you know.
But I remember immediately, just the font of the credits alone, I was like, oh, we're in big trouble.
It wasn't even
trouble.
The right font.
No, it was like we're in big trouble here.
Oh, yeah, once you see the Jaws font, you're like, this yeah. is no. And RoboCop, of course, a classic. In August of 1987, we have Back to the Beach,
which I'm very excited because
ooh, a treat.
The just came in the mail. It's the Back to the Beach Blu-ray.
Oh wow!
I am so excited.
Look at that artwork.
This looks like, yeah. So this was the font of the artwork. I used to have the standee for this, and that was kind of the typical 80s.
Oh my gosh.
Artwork. So, but yeah, so I'm excited for, so I'm Frankie Avalon. He was at the Hollywood Show, not too long ago, and he, I saw a lot of Back to the Beach posters he was signing. So I'm not
alone. That is so cool.
In this. So, Paul Rubens, PB Herman.
Yeah.
Lori Loughlin, of course.
Of course.
But
who's
yeah,
the actor so, next to Lori Loughlin?
Nobody. I don't know.
Nobody guy? Okay.
Yeah, I can't remember who it is.
I couldn't played, see.
So,
I just.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm excited.
Back to the Beach.
Yeah.
Did that just come today?
This week. It was just released on Blu-ray for the first time as part of the Paramount Presents. So.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so we will see. Rarely do I get this excited. It's like, it's going to be so great.
No, it's awesome. When are you going to watch it?
I don't know. I'll probably watch it this weekend. So
yeah,
I have a little
beach.
Pile here. Yep. So
where does Back to the Beach go on your movie rating list?
Oh, I'd have to go back to it. So obviously I watch it at least on a every 2 year basis. So,
okay, that's good.
Somewhere, obviously I owned it on Blu-ray, so it's probably 4 if I spent the money to get it on Blu-ray.
Okay. Makes sense.
It must be so.
Okay. And next we have Masters of the Universe,
which I also just got an email about somebody. So this has its share of fans and was shot mostly in Whittier, California, but also Halloween Cemetery. They're literally just a few feet away from where Judith Meyer's tombstone was stolen in Halloween.
Oh, really?
Yep. Same spot.
Oh, cool.
And her house is actually was on in impeachment. So this was Linda Tripp's house.
Yes.
And so, yeah, as we talked about when impeachment was live, I was like, oh, I know that house right away. So it's kind of strange that they
That they used it.
Yeah. So, but
yeah.
So I was too old to get into Masters of the Universe action figures and toys and stuff like that. So I wasn't, but I worked at the movie theater at the time. And so I'd always kind of like just pop in and watch this movie in between things. So I think that's why I kind of have a soft spot for it. So
yeah, you like it.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before too, which is cool.
Yeah.
And
this is the reason that Superman 4 lost their budget, because I think they spent too much money on this movie and they just didn't have any more money to give to Superman 4.
And they blew it up.
Yeah.
Is this the same road in Back to the Future?
It is not, but
no.
So it's not actually just a couple of streets over from the Linda Tripp house.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it looks very Midwestern. So
Yeah. Captivating Meg Foster. Next on the list, August 1987, is Who's That Girl? Which you have covered as well, Robert.
I covered a little bit. So actually, I have watched the movie once all the way through. Just once, believe it or not. So
yeah, I think you told me about that before.
Yeah, I knew people were like, can you go to some locations? I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And I literally kind of fast forward the movie because it was New York and LA.
Yeah.
I think it's all supposed to take place on the East Coast, even though you look at him like, obviously, a lot of this is not East Coast, but
I love when they do that.
Yeah,
like in the office, they're like, "We're going outside," and you're like, "It's supposed to be December, and there's a palm tree in the back."
Like, all right, so I did a few LA locations from Who's That Girl, but
yeah,
as you know, I just only it was actually fine. You know, this is not my favorite Madonna look when she had that over platinum hair, but
no,
people like it.
It's not your number one go to.
It is not.
Also in August 1987 is Dirty Dancing.
Of course,
quite the age difference. Can't Buy Me Love, which we've talked about before. It's a good movie. No Way Out, Stakeout, and finally, The Monster Squad. I'm going to pull this up because I don't think we've ever seen this page.
Yeah, I don't know. So Monster Squad, same thing. I felt like I was probably a little too old for this, but... I've been at horror movie conventions where they have panels that with some of these actors, and everybody, it's standing room only. So this is a favorite of theirs. So so I did a few of the locations, and I think I did a Horrors Hallowed Grounds magazine article for it as well.
But, oh, cool.
But yeah, so fans can take a look at that. While it's pulling up, it's going back to Dirty Dancing because I was like, ugh, because I was working at the theater at the time. And it was literally every 2 hours, a flood of women crying.
Oh, gosh, of course.
Leaving the theater. And I was like, oh, and it's, you know, it's...
Would you like a tissue, madam?
It's not my type of movie, but obviously it created a lightning storm of...
Oh yeah,
fans that kind of love it. But if I remember anything, I just remember just women just like
that's crying, not bad.
And they would probably just buy tickets and turn around and go see it again. So
of course, yeah, it was a powerhouse.
Yeah. So Can't Buy Me Love, I also saw in the theater. I remember specifically because we went to York, Nebraska, so which is near where my mother grew up, and it was.
York, Nebraska.
I don't know how big it is. It's not that big. So, you know, one movie theater town. And so, and, you know, my sister and I, we thought, you know, we're city people, even it's just Omaha. But so I think it was about 40 minutes before the movie was ending. In the lower right corner, this like sign popped up on the screen, like light saying concession closing in 10 minutes.
Mad rush.
It'd be superimposed over the movie, and I felt like half the theater got up and left, and we just remember laughing because we just
to go get their food.
We thought it was the funniest thing at the time.
Oh yeah,
that stood out to me.
Concession stand closing 10 minutes. Yep. Let's go get
can't
some
buy me
popcorn.
Love. Yes. So Can't Buy Me Love is the typical. I mean, now this is also one of those weird, like he's paying her to be.
Yeah.
Something, you know, like and it's not different than the I'm sure the She's All That's and so forth, but it is kind of a strange.
Yeah, it is a little peculiar in that sense.
Yeah,
it's not as peculiar as like a Mrs. Doubtfire, but it's up there.
No, No Way Out, we've talked about before, but this is all if it's hotel, I will stop and I will watch this movie all the way through.
You will stop at Can't Buy
Me Love? I will. I mean, no, for No Way Out. I mean, No Way Out.
Right. No Way Out. Okay. All right.
I've already moved on.
Who else was in No Way Out again?
Well, Sean Young plays the
Sean Young,
Gene Hackman, and what's his name? I've already lost his name from Untouchables.
Right,
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, yes. When he's not doing a baseball movie, he is doing something different.
Yeah, but he's it was a thriller, and I think it's Deputy Hawkins from Halloween is the also in this movie.
Oh, okay, cool. From the original Halloween?
No, the Halloween 2018. Hmm. Sorry. But much younger, whatever. Anyway, so I do stop everything and watch this. So okay. For Stakeout, did you ever watch Stakeout? Richard Dreyfuss, Emilio Estevez. It's not one that's well remembered. So
no. But
it did well enough. They made another Stakeout.
Oh really? I think you talked about that before.
Yeah, with Rosie O'Donnell was in that one. So obviously I do not.
Another Stakeout.
But yeah, so I mean that's summer of 87. Look how many movies these aren't even all the movies, you know. These are just,
no, it's amazing. Yeah. The lineup, I mean, you're lucky to get three these days in the summer. That's like you're lucky to get two that you're like, okay, we're really gonna go out and see it and not wait for it to come to streaming. But all these movies, the majority of those, it's incredible. It really is. 80s really was the best decade for film.
It was. So, but this is also where you're kind of like, now we're teetering. If compared to 82 to 87, you're like, oof, this is.
We're starting to flatline a little bit.
Not the same. And next year, when we do summer of 88, then it'll probably be even worse.
What was the banner film of 88?
I don't. Let me think. That was my summer between high school graduation and going to college. And Rattle and Hum, I remember, was out at that time. But
great
Friday the 13th Part 7.
Oh, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yeah. Okay. Was that 87 or 88?
That was 88.
Okay, gotcha. So yeah, I'll have to do some investigating when we do that next year.
Yeah, the
year.
List gets a little bit more less interesting.
Yeah, just not. I was like, well, it was fine.
Well, Cocktail.
Oh. Now I will have to. So my sister. Was just in Toronto, and so she went to, you know, we had talked about movie lines that we just always use, and so, so I think she's playing a waitress at this particular diner, and Tom Cruise is like doing Tom Cruising her, you know, and there's this annoyed couple's like, we have theater tickets because they're trying to leave, and so my sister sat in the we have theater tickets booth, and I think they say, oh, here's the booth where the scene takes place, like, and she's like, no, I want in the we have theater tickets. These kind of extras so that I kind of have that line.
We need it. Now I have theater tickets booth.
Yeah. So anytime we're running late or something like that, we're like, we have theater tickets is our line.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
We have theater tickets.
Yeah. So that will be coming to Sedgwick soon.
Yeah. Oh, Great Outdoors came out in the summer of 88 too.
Okay.
Mystic Pizza. We'll talk about the list next show, but there's some good ones.
They're okay, yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah,
it's like fine. That scene in Office Space where it's like, he must be a huge Michael Bolton fan. I, for one, think he's fantastic. Yeah, no, he's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friends are, I did find my new, I can't say anything bad of the movie. It's like, yeah, it's fine.
That's fine.
There it is, you know, just in case anybody's in social media world, I'm not totally trashing their movie.
It's fine. Or if you don't really want to commit, we could see my roommate's independent film. That's an option.
Yeah, it certainly is. Let's see
where we are that day.
Yeah,
it's an option. I use the excuse, you know what, I'm set jetting that weekend.
Oh shoot, I still use I'm washing my hair.
That is a good excuse.
Yeah.
I actually have used you to get out of some jams before. Oh. Like, well, Robert's doing some like filming locations, so I think like I might have to like be on standby.
What am I?
Like, assistant.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I know. Is that why people are calling me? Like, what are you doing right now? Like,
I'm scouting. What are you
nothing.
Doing?
Nothing. Yeah.
I'm headed to Piru this weekend.
Yeah.
when will you go back to Piru? I want to go back there when your next trip.
I don't know. Well, I need a reason to go back.
Yeah, you need a excuse.
I just don't go to places. Why would I even exist if there wasn't going to a movie location?
Right, it has to be an assignment. So I guess.
Well, you.
War of the Worlds.
It could be ESA. Oh, we need to get better War of the Worlds shots, or what we do need to go get illegal shots of Friday 13th Part 5, the barn.
That's it. That's what it is, my friend. Yeah. Scrap Pyro. It's Friday 13th.
It's part right 5. Right to there. So, and actually, we could go on a Part 5 kind of little trip, and because the diner that Lana works at.
Hey, it's Lana. Showtime.
Yeah. Yep.
We have to do it.
So. It's
I would get dirty for the Friday the 13th Part 5. Oh, really? If I had to like scale some walls, I would do it.
It's a dirty film, so
it is pretty dirty.
There you go.
It is.
it is. It's kind of the dirtiest of them all.
It is for sure. Yeah. It is gross.
That should be their tagline.
Uh-huh.
Friday Part 5, A New Beginning, the dirtiest of them all.
Oh, so funny.
Speaking of, I just watched, I think on Tubi, Angel and Avenging Angel. You probably, what? Not even on your radar.
No.
But,
it Avenging has, Angel? The
yeah,
1985
so,
film?
Yeah, but Angel is the original, okay. And it has one of the best posters, and one of kind of the best taglines from what I remember. But Angel, her two worlds are about to collide. It's her choice, her chance, her life. So on one half, she's a schoolgirl, and the other half, she's a woman of the night.
Oh.
It's a, when you talk about 80s kind of exploitation-ish looking, you know, there it is. So.
Wow.
And it's sad because then Avenging Angel.
Oh, it really does say Hollywood hooker by night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's no joke.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's the poster. So it's kind of LA at its seediest, you know.
Like
early 80s, and then by the time they got to the sequel, obviously the actress wouldn't come back, and the sequel is just atrocious in a kind of 80s.
You're talking
way
about the second. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a third one. It looks like.
Oh, is there? I didn't know there's a third one.
Oh, well, that must be bad if you don't know it.
I didn't even know that. So anyway.
Oh, there's four. There's Angel 3, the final chapter.
Ooh.
But it's not the final chapter, Robert, because we have Angel 4 Undercover.
Well, obviously I have homework this weekend, so.
Oh, you know these movies are bad when they don't even list the budget?
Yeah.
In like Wikipedia, when they don't even have like the budget, you're like, oh, no.
I had no idea. So now I'm.
But these are on Tubi?
Angel and Avenging, you know, I think it was on Tubi. So where I've seen Angel before, and it's kind of, it's when you come about this kind of dirty movies, you know, the early dirty movies, you know, Charles Bronson and Death Wish 2, you know, like they're just like nasty, same type of thing. But by the time they got to Avenging Angel, it was kind of glossed over, and they were like, hey, you know, the whole Hollywood, you know, everything's getting sold out and we need to stick together. And, you know, like, I was like, oh, it's not the same, you know,
we need to stick together.
Yeah. Let's come on, everybody. Cause Angel at one point, she becomes a law student. So she can,
of course
she somehow became a law student and then she needs to find a way. And there's like Glitter Man and you know, he literally
Glitter
all
Man?
He does is, yeah, he throws glitter. So it might
oh my
be,
gosh.
That I probably enticed you now, like, oh, I need to find out what
glitter. Oh, yeah, no, I'll be on Tubi surfing.
Glitter Man accidentally witnesses a murder. And so, yeah, a murder.
Glitter Man.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, I never watched it all the way through. And I was watching, I'm like, this is why I have.
Yeah, this is why we're not doing this.
But I felt committed. I'm like, I need to see how this ends. I hope they save the Hollywood neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. You got to set up that Mannequin 2, all the classics. Oof. You got to start watching.
So now I feel like now that there's multi-Angel movies I wasn't aware of, that apparently that's my homework.
It's amazing the sequels in a lot of these franchises. I don't need to tell you. I mean, just how they branch off. Like, who's asking for a fourth one?
Yeah.
Like Children of the Corn is a perfect example. There's like 30 of those things. Do they really need a Children of the Corn like 6?
It must make enough.
I'm sure it covers the
Maybe. I don't know.
Budget, but like, it's just funny that they, you know.
How does Angel 3 exist, but Batgirl doesn't? I don't know.
That's the world we live in. You know? Angels in the Outfield exist, but Angel Undercover's the fourth one. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you know what I'm thinking now. Angel 5, 1796.
She was a milk churner and Bible reader by day, but by night, she walks.
The Scarlet Letter.
Yes, the seductress on the cobblestone streets of Washington.
We're going to do that with every movie.
And it works, too.
Yes.
That'll be our show tonight. The only thing I wrote down else was I just want to remind the listeners that Robert did get chased by a beaver in a lake once, which I've never heard anyone getting chased by a beaver, and it freaks me out, but you did.
Yeah, I don't want to say chase, but I was in the kayak, and so, you know, family's kind of off in the distance, and I think I saw pointing to something, and I was just having trouble enough, because, you know, you have the life vest.
That's a workout.
You can't really move, and I didn't realize what a workout would be, and I'm so out of shape. I was like, oh, I'm never going to get through this, but then they showed a video of this thing swimming, you know, the ripple, you see it in the pond. Swimming towards you, or whatever, and to close ups, and they realized because they didn't know what it was, they couldn't see it was far enough. They just saw something obviously swimming towards me. You're like, well, what would be in this lake that would?
Would it be like a snake?
I don't know that I would have freaked out about. Then I would. That's
why I won't go into lakes. Is yeah. I've seen snakes across the water, and I'm like, I'm not doing.
No. Now you gave me the chills. I can't do it. So.
Yeah, beaver, like poisonous snakes, like water moccasins. I won't go in the lake.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be poisonous. It just needs to be. So anyway, so I think that we did a close up of it, and that's when we realized. And I forgot there were some beavers off to the side that had been building stuff. So it was probably going to see what I was up to. But
do you still have this video? I have to see this.
I think so. I'll have to look. Have to
if
look
you've ever
sure
come
I
across
do,
it, so. Send it to me.
I could intercut it with Lorraine Gary in the boat.
Michael.
Get out of the water.
Get out of the water.
You yell beaver. So, people are like, huh? What?
We got a panic on our hands on the Omaha Day Parade Day.
Yeah, we're gonna cut that so up much with that we can do.
Roy Scheider going, Robert's in the pond, and cutting you to the rowing, and then have him running with the tracking shot at full speed.
And I'll be kayaking. The pond's for old ladies, and there I am.
Hey, you guys need some help? Are you okay, you guys?
Superimpose the beaver.
Yeah. There was a horror movie about zombie beavers.
Zombie Beavers it was called. I never saw it, but
it's called
sure
Zombie Beavers, right?
I think so. It's probably on Tubi.
Yeah, it is. But it came out maybe 5 years ago, and I didn't watch it. But
we get 7.5 cents every time we mention Tubi.
Right. Yes. So go ahead and watch Tubi. All right. So that'll be our show tonight, Robert. Unless you had anything else you wanted to. Put your pinky toe in.
I'm good.
All right, this was a good show, man. Thanks for coming on again.
And good to see you.
Great to see you too. Thank you everybody for listening to the podcast. We'll Set Jetter Saturdays. As always, check out Robert's website at setjetter.com, and we'll see you next week. Sugar, oh honey, you are my candy girl. Got me wanting you, honey. Oh, sugar.